Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. My friends, I have to tell you, I've never been so upset and frankly so fearful for the future of this country and with it our individual futures. If you've been following the election news, the real news about the election, not the done deal stuff pumped out daily by the Marxist mainstream media types, then you're aware of the thousands of people who have come forward to report allegations of voter and election fraud, many of them providing sworn affidavits and testifying at legislative hearings alleging massive fraud in the 2020 presidential election, particularly in the six key swing states that decided the election: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. You've heard the forensic experts stating they suspect or have actually uncovered manipulation of electronic voting machine data, about witnesses saying they saw counting multiple times of paper ballots, huge numbers of suspicious mail-in paper ballots, almost all for Joe Biden, many of them with only Biden's name marked on them, many with the same signature. You've heard the contention by Republican and Trump campaign people that many thousands of illegal votes were counted from non-citizens, non-state residents, dead people, and people who did not request mail-in or absentee ballots as required by their state's laws, etc. Then there are the allegations of voting machines were illegally connected to the internet, and vote totals were sent over the internet to foreign countries where they were subject to changes, and of the reportedly easily hackable voting machine equipment and software. In one of the only incidents where voting machines and software were allowed to be audited by forensic experts in Michigan, it has been alleged that there were staggeringly high error rates of votes that were sent to adjudications files where the votes could be easily changed, and these adjudications files have allegedly now been deleted in violation of Michigan law. But the most shocking and frightening thing, pardon me, about all this for me has been the fact that almost all of our courts, right up to the U.S. Supreme Court, have been siding against the allegations of vote fraud and essentially refusing to hear the information, the allegations, hear evidence of this, which is so widespread, despite the mountain of evidence supporting it, and for the most part refusing to even consider the evidence, instead claiming that the evidence is either non-existent, insufficient, or too late to change the election results in these key swing states that decided the election in favor of Joe Biden. Then there's the deep state mole, former attorney William Barr, who hates the president, sat on the Hunter Biden laptop investigation doing nothing with it for over a year, as he did with the investigation into the Russia collusion hoax. Barr is a fraud and a disgrace, and there are too many like him at the DOJ and elsewhere in the establishment. And this is what Trump has been up against from day one of his presidency. After weeks of looking at so much of the allegations and evidence presented on the internet and at these legislative hearings, I have no doubt that there was massive vote and election fraud, enough that if reasonably considered and accepted, would easily change the election results. I have no doubt that President Trump actually won the election and won in a landslide. I believe he won both the popular and electoral college votes. Yet stunningly, shockingly, frighteningly, there appears to be a large and well-planned, well-coordinated plot to steal the election from Trump and give it to Biden. This involves Democratic Party operatives and likely foreign actors, and is supported by many segments of our society, including the big tech giants, the mainstream media, big corporations and institutions such as nonprofits, much if not most of our judiciary, and even many Republicans who want Trump to give up and concede. We'll hear more about all this as the program unfolds. As I said, all this appears to have been long planned, well coordinated, and worked on over many years, culminating in the 2020 elections. In a December 23 article on frontpagemag.com by John Perazzo, I believe, titled "Yes, It Was a Stolen Election, You'd Have to Be Blind Not to See It," the author states, quote, "During the months leading up to this year's presidential race, the Biden campaign assembled a team of some 600 lawyers and more than 10,000 volunteers to quote, go into every single state, unquote, in order to, quote, call out local rules that don't adequately ensure access to vote, close quote. And that the article continues, beginning more than a year ago, Democrats filed nearly 300 lawsuits in dozens of states, most notably all of the key battleground states, in an effort to change election laws and regulations in ways that would benefit Democratic candidates. For example, they sought to, A, extend the statutory deadlines by which mail-in ballots could be submitted, postmarked, or received by election authorities. B, permit people to vote earlier than ever before, in some cases as many as 50 days prior to Election Day. C, eliminate signature verification, and witness requirements for mail-in ballots. D, void state laws that disallowed ballot harvesting by third parties. E, terminate photo ID requirements for in-person voting. F, introduce provisions that would allow for the curing of mail-in ballots that contained errors or omissions. And G, require more state election officials to send unsolicited mail-in ballots to every person listed as a registered voter, even though such lists have long been notoriously inaccurate. The article continues, though the Democrats did not get everything they wanted, they got most of it. Broadcaster and best-selling author Mark Levin, citing the cases of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona, and their combined 73 electoral college votes, explains what happened, colon. And then he's quoting Levin here. Every one of these states, and others as well, were targeted by Democrats. Every one of these states violated the United States Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, which empowers the state legislatures alone to make election laws for each state. Every one of them, because changes were made to their election systems not by the state legislature but by other public officials, that's 73 electoral college votes. This is why Donald Trump won the election. If the federal constitution had not been violated, yes, Donald Trump would be president of the United States today. Putting all fraud aside, this is why you should be furious with the United States Supreme Court that had as its duty, as its sworn responsibility, to insist that the states comply with the federal constitution under Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, and that they change – and that any changes made outside that clause by governors, secretaries of state, by courts, federal or state, by election boards or other bureaucrats will be deemed unconstitutional. The Supreme Court had a case in Pennsylvania before a single vote was counted. They had a case alleging unconstitutional changes to election laws, and they didn't take it up. The Democrats made these changes – they plotted, they planned, they litigated, they pressured, they lobbied, and now we have, if he's sworn in, Joe Biden, who will be the illegitimate president of the United States in every meaning of that word, illegitimate, end quote. Yet, as I said, and Levin stated, for whatever the bizarre reason could be, our courts, including most of the so-called justices on the highest court, our highest court, have been turning a blind eye to all this. Why? In its most recent shocking snub to the American people, President Trump, and the Constitution, the court rebuffed the Trump campaign's request for expedited hearing of its contesting of the vote results in Pennsylvania, scheduling the deadline for the state to respond to the campaign's allegations on January 21, the day after the new president will be sworn in. Why? Why are they doing this? If we don't have a real judiciary, we don't have a real country. I can go on and on about all this, but I want to spend what little time we have left on this program. I want to spend what little time we have left on this program to let you hear just some of the evidence for the widespread election irregularities and anomalies, so you can come to your own conclusions about what occurred and what is happening to and in our beloved country. I will have a little more to say about the judiciary and their actions on all this in the program as well. Let's start with President Trump's own statements to the American people on December 22 about why he is continuing to fight for election integrity and refusing to concede. Play soundbite one, please.
My fellow Americans, today I want to explain to you why I am so determined to pursue every legal and constitutional option available to stop the theft of the presidential election. As president, one of my most solemn duties is to protect the integrity of your sacred right to vote. This year, using the virus as a pretext, Democrat officials in the key swing states illegally violated their own state laws in order to enable, encourage, and facilitate fraud on a scale never before seen in the history of our country. The truth is, we won the election by a landslide. We won it big. Today, I'm going to give you the facts that every American needs to know. Let's go back to the night of the election. By midnight, we had a commanding lead in the swing states. We won Florida by a record number of votes. We won Ohio by a record number of votes. And likewise, we won Iowa by 8.2%, far different than the false narrative portrayed in the media. We were up by 293,000 votes in Michigan, 112,000 votes in Wisconsin, 356,000 votes in Georgia, and nearly 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, all swing states. These numbers were absolutely impossible for Joe Biden to overcome, and the Democrats knew it, and everybody forecasting knew it and understood it well. Our nation's greatest political professionals were calling to congratulate me on our victory. Then suddenly everything started to disappear. Everything started to change. The vote counting abruptly stopped in multiple states. In the middle of the night, a series of massive and statistically inconceivable vote dumps overturned the results in state after state. At 6:31 a.m., very early in the morning, Michigan suddenly reported 147,224 votes, 94% for Biden, 6% for Trump. At 4:42 a.m., Wisconsin reported 143,279 votes, almost all of them for Biden. A similar massive drop of ballots happened in Georgia at 1:34 a.m. Again, almost all of these votes for Biden. These gigantic and ridiculously one-sided spikes were miraculously just enough to push Joe Biden into the lead in all of the key swing states. These glaring anomalies are just the tip of the iceberg. We won 18 of 19 bellwether counties, a record, that have correctly predicted the winner of every presidential election for the last 40 years. We also won Ohio, Florida, and Iowa by historic margins, meaning Biden would be the first candidate since 1960 and only the second candidate in American history to win the White House while losing all three of those major states. And it wasn't even close. With Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, the Democrats lost 25 out of 26 toss-up House seats. That's a record. Democrats were projected to gain 15 seats, and instead, because of my success and coattails, as they call them, they lost 14 seats. So think of that. They were going to win big, and they ended up losing big. My campaign received more votes than any president in history. Almost 75 million people voted for me. We earned approximately 12 million more votes than we got in 2016, the largest vote increase for an incumbent president ever recorded. I also received the largest share of non-white voters of any Republican in over 60 years. In fact, we did better with African-American and Hispanic voters everywhere in the country, except for a small handful of corrupt Democrat-run cities in key swing states, places notorious for fraud, such as Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia, all run by Democrat machine politicians. No president has ever lost re-election while making such extraordinary gains across the board. There's never been anything like it. Yet despite all of this evidence of a thundering Trump victory and all of those projections all through the night, they want us to believe that Joe Biden, who seldom left his basement to campaign, somehow received 11.7 million more votes than Barack Obama, and he beat Barack Obama all over the country. It is historically, mathematically, politically, and logically impossible. It did not happen. He did not win. We won by a landslide. Over the past 7 weeks, we have put forth abundant evidence proving how the Democrats perpetrated this monstrous fraud on the American people and indeed the world. First, we have shown that officials in virtually every key swing state brazenly violated their own state laws in order to change election procedures, eliminate safeguards, promote fraud, and illegally benefit Joe Biden. And legislatures, which have to make the changes, were seldom, if ever, used. For example, Pennsylvania's radical Democrat Secretary of State suspended all signature verification requirements, breaking Pennsylvania law, not to mention the big and very illegal ballot drops. In Michigan, the Secretary of State, a Democrat, illegally flooded the state with absentee ballot applications, even though Michigan law strictly limits the distribution of absentee ballots. In Wisconsin, the major Democrat cities deployed over 500 unmanned, unsecured ballot drop boxes that were blatantly illegal, paving the way for unlawful ballot harvesting and tremendous fraud. In Georgia, the Secretary of State began illegally processing ballots weeks before Election Day and also destroyed the signature verification systems in violation of the law. Many other horrible things were done in Georgia. These actions alone were more than enough to rig the election results for Democrats. Second, the absentee ballot rejection rates prove that hundreds of thousands of illegitimate ballots were counted in the key states. This was sufficient to change the election results all on its own. In 2016, 6.4% of mail-in ballots were rejected in Georgia. This year, fewer than a tiny percentage of 1% were rejected. So you went all the way down, a difference of more than 30 times. The same phenomena occurred in Pennsylvania and other states. They were accepting all of these ballots, many of which were absolutely illegal. In a year in which the number of mail-in ballots was the highest ever, the rejection rate was magically the lowest ever, and it wasn't even close. The only possible explanation is that tens of thousands of ballots were unlawfully processed and counted. Most Americans would be shocked to learn that in no swing state is there any meaningful attempt to verify citizenship, residency, identity, or eligibility for mail-in ballots. The potential for illegal activity is unlimited, and that's what we just experienced. Third, hundreds and hundreds of witnesses have come forward to testify under penalty of perjury about the cheating and fraud they saw with their own eyes. Witnesses have sworn that they saw poll workers illegally backdating thousands of ballots, counting batches of the same ballots many times, and unloading boxes and boxes of ballots, all bearing the same signature, and all for Joe Biden. Other witnesses have testified to seeing thousands of so-called pristine ballots with no creases or folds, all voting for Biden. When you have no fold, it means it wasn't mailed. It means it was a fraud. Republican poll watchers were denied critical access as hundreds of thousands of votes were counted in Democrat-run cities in the essential states. There is even security camera footage from Georgia that shows officials telling poll watchers to leave the room before pulling suitcases of ballots out from under the tables and continuing to count for hours. The reason they were forced to leave the room is they said there was a major water main break. The water main break never happened. There was no water main break. In many cases, Republican poll watchers were physically removed from rooms. In addition, there is the deeply troubling matter of Dominion voting systems. In just one Michigan county alone, 6,000 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. And the same system was used throughout a majority of the United States. No satisfactory explanation has been offered for why Dominion systems are able to switch votes with a mere push of a button. In Arizona, the state Senate has recently issued a subpoena for a forensic audit of the voting machines, and similar investigations must be conducted in every state using Dominion systems immediately. In Texas, they don't allow Dominion systems to be used. As I have just laid out, we have unveiled overwhelming evidence of election fraud. None of this should ever have been allowed to happen in the United States of America. It is a travesty of democracy. It's a shame upon our republic. In 2016, we caught them by surprise. From that moment, they had 4 years to work on the scheme to rig the 2020 election. The rigging of the 2020 election was only the final step in the Democrats' and the media's years-long effort to overthrow the will of the American people and destroy our movement by any means possible, any means necessary. For months and indeed years before the election, the media, the big tech giants, and the Democrat Party were openly colluding to deceive the American public. Earlier this year, it was proven beyond any doubt that Joe Biden's family received millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party. Yet the media and tech companies worked together to completely censor this information. Our country no longer has a free press. It is a press of suppression. It is a press where the truth will never come out. It is the greatest and most shocking scandal involving a presidential candidate in modern history. But surveys show that half of those who voted for Joe Biden have never even heard of the story. This is not the first and only time that the media and the Biden campaign flagrantly lied to the American people. They repeatedly insisted that we would not produce a vaccine for the China virus before the middle of next year. And yet before the end of this year, we have already authorized two vaccines with tens of millions of doses in distribution and hundreds of millions more on their way. This is being talked of as a great medical miracle. In this sense alone, the media and the Democrat Party lied to the American people to try to steal the election. Also, polls. In order to deter voter turnout, the media had me down in certain polls by 15, 16, and 17% in states that I won or came very close to winning. If this egregious fraud is not fully investigated and addressed, the 2020 election will forever be regarded as illegitimate and the most corrupt election in the history of our country. Americans must be able to have complete faith and confidence in our elections. The fate of our democracy depends upon it. Now is the time for the American people to raise their voices and demand that this injustice be immediately corrected. Our elections must be fair, they must be honest, and they must be transparent, and they must be 100% free of fraud. We won this election by a magnificent landslide, and the people of the United States know it. All over, they're demonstrating. They're angry. They're fearful. We cannot allow a completely fraudulent election to stand. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Now let's hear more specific details from the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, on what the campaign says happened in swing states on and after Election Day. This is an election update from Giuliani's Common Sense video podcast series, episode 97, on Christmas Day. And Giuliani is summarizing what he spoke about earlier on his podcast. Please play soundbite 2.
So I know what you've been told about our fanciful, weird, strange theories of fraud, cleanest election ever. Let me just review quickly to tell you about the best ever. Pennsylvania, you remember the chart, the 600,000 votes that came in the middle of the night. You also remember, I hope, that there are 882,770 votes that were uninspected. And you also remember that there are some 400,000 to 700,000 more mail-in votes counted than ever printed. So count out Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, certification wrong. That should be decertified, and it should be certified by the state legislature, as they have the power to do, in favor of Donald Trump. Arizona has more non-citizens voting than the margin of error between the two. The breakdown either by county or anywhere else is about 80-20, Biden-Trump. that takes you way beyond the margin necessary to reverse the state from Biden to Trump. Michigan, when you count the Antrim 82% adjudication rate, which means that the person doesn't get to make their own vote, some administrator does, probably a Democrat. And number two, that 71 of the precincts in Wayne County, the largest county, the vote didn't balance. In other words, there were more votes counted than people who voted. And when you consider that 300,000 to 400,000 votes were put into the mail-in vote machines without any observation by Republicans, although there were several observations from far away that these votes were entered 4, 5, and 6 times. When you consider the dump of 100,000 votes in the middle of the night, all for Biden, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, the number that Trump won Michigan by looks pretty much like the number we all went to bet on election night, about 120,000, just like Pennsylvania looks like something like 300,000 to 400,000 when you take out the illegal ballots. And when we get to Georgia, just look at the tape. That accounts for anywhere from 40 to 80,000 votes. The number then when we look at it on was like 138,000 for Biden and 2,000 for Trump. Take those out of their numbers. Trump won Georgia. Honestly, we want honest votes here. And finally, Wisconsin, the indefinitely confined. We're not indefinitely confined. That's a fraudulent vote. Wisconsin's tough on these things. Wisconsin has to change the certification, has to certify. That's what's going to go on now. Go on to state legislatures and go on in Congress. It's going to be pursued. And no matter what the crooked media tells you, it's a real case. So I hope this gives you an overview to get you prepared for next week.
Giuliani still believes the truth will eventually come out. And good people among our lawmakers, lawyers, and judges will save the day and see that President Trump is rightfully reelected to a second term. I wish I felt so confident of that. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Epoch Times. Some people call it Epoch. I say the Epoch Times, online and paper-printed newspaper. But it's been a fantastic source of real news about the election. Here are some highlights from their investigative reporter Joshua Phillips' documentary, Who is Stealing America, which came out on December 14th and can be viewed on their website, on YouTube, and elsewhere on the internet. Play soundbite 3, please.
The New York Times sources its voting data from Edison Research. Edison receives real-time election data from each state office directly, including from voting systems. Analyzing this data, I calculated the percentage of votes obtained by Trump and Biden against the total votes counted. And I found that on November 4th, within 7 seconds, after 6:31 a.m., Michigan saw a sudden influx of 149,722 votes, of which 141,258 votes, or 94.3%, were for Biden. Only 4% were for Trump. This abnormal spike in votes directly resulted in Biden closing the gap in Michigan and then overtaking Trump. Checking the New York Times election database, I saw Wisconsin also displayed similar abnormalities. During the 5 minutes between 3:37 and 3:42 a.m. local time, 168,386 votes were tallied, of which 143,379, or 85%, were for Biden, and 25,163, or 14.9%, were for Trump. Before that 5 minutes, Trump had always been in the lead. This abnormality reversed the situation in Wisconsin and gave Biden the lead. In the currently contested Wisconsin results, Biden leads Trump by only 20,608 votes. Yet at 3:42 a.m. on November 4th, Biden received a peculiar influx of 143,379 votes. More swing states, such as Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, all had similar anomalies in their election vote count. With so many abnormalities, I had to find more answers. Is it possible these are the result of mail-in ballots? Due to the CCP virus this year, mail-in ballots were used widely throughout the United States, and this is the biggest difference between 2020 and past elections. Just how much did mail-in ballots affect the integrity of the 2020 elections? I was determined to find out. Besides Pennsylvania, the state having the most rumors of election fraud was Michigan, with 16 electoral votes on the line. Wayne County, especially Detroit, is the region with the most whistleblowers so far.
I got sent 7 absentee ballots with never applying for one. One of them was sent to me in my maiden name, and I went to vote in person on November 3rd. And after giving them my ID card, I ended up having to fill out an affidavit because I was questioned if I had voted already, and I haven't. Come to find out that somebody did vote in my name. I don't care who you voted for, voter fraud's real, and this election is rigged.
They were just rescanning, counting ballots 9 to 10 times. These workers were rescanning these batches of ballots numerous times. I mean, sometimes I saw between 8 and 10 times for them to be rescanned. That's just one person. You know, that happened in a 24-hour shift thousands of times. The whole time I was there in a 24-hour shift, there was not a single time that I saw one ballot for Trump. Not a single time.
The TCF Center became the focal point in Detroit, Michigan, as more and more witnesses emerged.
This is where I witnessed they were counting ballots that were not registered. They weren't in the poll log, the QVF, and they couldn't verify them. The ballots that came in could not be matched with the electronic qualified voter file, and the ballots could not be matched with the paper file, yet they still counted those ballots. Boom. That's illegal. That's wrong. You can't do that. Also, my affidavit, I said how I wanted to challenge all these other ballots, and I was prohibited from doing so.
So question anything, they would intentionally circle you and intimidate you. At one point, I was trying to challenge one of the names on there, and the woman actually turned around and physically pushed me away.
The atmosphere in the room was really hostile. There were multiple times where, when I was at my table, I got just hollered at for, like, stepping closer to try to look.
So there was boxes and almost like suitcases back there, too. A big pile of them with saran wrap all over them. We inquired about those, and someone, the young guy who was standing there, he goes, if you don't walk away from these suitcases or from this back door, I will arrest you.
Have stuck our necks out, have been intimidated, threatened.
Thousands of people from across the Commonwealth have reached out to us, tens of thousands.
People are not feeling good nor confident about the process and the results because of that process.
These are not normal activities.
This is no game, and the very republic, very much is at stake.
Years ago, you had to be a super hacker. And if you look at some of the videos from the HBO documentary on hacking election gear to CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox and others, for the past 5 or 6 years, they've shown all these vulnerabilities in all this gear. So it's super easy. It doesn't require super intelligence.
The number of methods of election fraud alleged in the 2020 election kept growing, as more and more evidence kept coming in from sworn affidavits by eyewitnesses and careful data analysis. I began to realize that our investigations had only just scratched the surface.
What I saw was not a secure and transparent election.
What I saw as a forensics expert was an election process that was forensically destructive.
No track, no remedy, no record.
I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have evidence of a massive transfer of completed, curated ballots ready to be injected into counting centers.
Dominion. Every witness I interviewed, including many whistleblowers, pointed at a connection between Dominion voting machines and election fraud allegations. Is that why Dominion became a public focal point after election night? According to Dominion's official website, The Dominion voting system is currently used in 28 U.S. states and the territory of Puerto Rico. More than 40% of U.S. voters vote through the Dominion voting system in general elections. 65 of the 83 counties in Michigan use the Dominion voting system. 159 counties in Georgia also use it. And in Arizona, Dominion serves 2.2 million voters in Maricopa County. DHS calls election the most secure in America history. Mainstream media seem to have already prepared voters with a set of talking points to immediately counter any possible fraud allegations. But if you search deeper, you'll see that prior to this presidential election, mainstream media presented a completely opposite perspective.
It's voting equipment that's running software that had internet connectivity, whether or not it was patched, whether or not someone had admin permission to go in and change the way it operates easily by following downloadable instructions. We blame those who were allowed to have access to this gear, how the gear was set up, why this gear was set up. Why did certain states accept very vulnerable, easily manipulated equipment and had access to that equipment? And what changes could they have made right before the election?
A month before the 2020 election, the parent company of Dominion Voting Systems received $400 million in funding. This was shocking news, and I suspected there must be some significant clue to find out what was hidden behind this. First, I discovered that the three related parties to this transaction all exhibited strange behavior before and after the election. Staple Street Capital, a middle market private equity firm, was founded on June 9, 2009 and purchased Dominion on July 16, 2018 for about $265 million. Shortly after the election on November 3rd, the company website underwent a full transformation. All information about the company's founders and investment portfolios were deleted. One can no longer find any relationship with Dominion from the website. Dominion Voting Systems. On the evening of November 19, 2020, the head of Dominion canceled at the last minute a planned appearance at the Pennsylvania House of Representatives hearing.
Instead of running towards a light of honesty and integrity, Dominion Voting Systems retreated to the darkness. Why are they hiding from us?
The next day, Dominion's product strategy and security director, Eric Coomer, went missing. His bio was deleted from the Dominion company website. The company's Canadian headquarters in Toronto suddenly closed, and the U.S. headquarters in Denver, Colorado, also closed without notice. Coincidentally, when Dominion became a global focus after the election, over 100 employees, a third of the total workforce, erased their LinkedIn records, including Dominion's employees in Serbia. UBS Securities LLC. According to SEC filings, UBS Securities LLC arranged $400 million in investment to Staple Street Capital on October 8, 2020, less than a month before the election. This was the second time UBS Securities LLC had transacted with Staple Street. The first time was on December 19, 2014, in the amount of $200 million. We also discovered that there are two firms called UBS Securities in the world. One is registered in New York with an LLC suffix. The other is registered in Beijing with a co-LTD suffix. UBS Beijing also recently undertook some very peculiar actions. On the morning of December 1st in the U.S., lawyer Lynn Wood alleged on Twitter that China purchased Dominion Voting on October 8th for $400 million. On the previous day in China, UBS Beijing's board of directors saw 11 out of 14 members replaced. Was the large-scale replacement of board members at UBS Beijing a coincidence, or was there some kind of relationship?
As Philip points out in the documentary, the UBS New York and UBS Beijing, I caught it here in my excerpts but of his program, but he did point out that they have three members who are Chinese, two are Chinese nationals, mainland China, that is communist China, on the boards, and one of them is also – he's Chinese, but he has French citizenship, and they have served at one time or another on both boards, UBS Beijing, UBS New York. So there's a connection. It does appear that communist China has purchased a controlling interest of Dominion. But again, there are still some questions about this. Another thing he mentioned was that the mainstream media was previously very concerned about election fraud, but now has flip-flopped to contend that there was none whatsoever in this election. Since the courts have been dismissing election fraud evidence and without even hearing it, for the most part, and siding with the Biden campaign and Democratic Party, Dominion officials have reemerged and begun publicly denying all allegations of fraud and stating they will be suing all those who have been made these allegations. Will the disappointing and corrupt judiciary, as one observer called them, now side with the Dominion executives and their backers over those who have been making these fraud allegations? And if so, will there be any real consideration of the evidence of fraud that has been offered? Will it make any difference? Among those making the fraud allegations is prominent attorney Lynn Wood of Georgia, who will be representing pro-Trump attorney Sidney Powell in a lawsuit Dominion Voting System CEO says will be filed against her. Wood recently said he believes many members of the U.S. judiciary have been intimidated and otherwise compromised and thus cowed into siding with the Democrats in the election controversies. Here are Wood's comments about this Christmas Eve on NTD News, the sister media outlet of the Epoch Times, from an interview with Wood by Joshua Phillip again, this time on Joshua Phillip's internet podcast video series called Crossroads. Play soundbite four, please.
Attorney Lynn Wood claims courts are dismissing evidence of election fraud because the judges are compromised or threatened. He also alleges that the Chinese Communist Party is ultimately behind it.
Attorney Lynn Wood sat down with Crossroads' Joshua Phillip to talk about the 2020 U.S. election. Wood has filed two lawsuits in his hometown of Georgia against alleged election fraud.
We could resolve the question of the legitimacy of this election within a matter of a few short days, but it's taken weeks. Why? It's not one judge has looked at the merits of the mountain of evidence presented to the courts about the election fraud. We're not talking about an affidavit or two. We're talking about thousands, tens of thousands of affidavits. We're talking about authenticated videos of fraud.
Wood says he believes it's because the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated the United States, from local to federal governments and the judicial courts. He said he thinks many individuals are compromised or have been threatened.
I think they've done it over the course of the last two or three decades, just like they've said they would, just the way communism works. I believe that we have been infiltrated by ideology, by corruption, Chinese money. Take a look at Georgia. It's overflowing in our state government with people connected to Chinese money, or even by blackmail. These are the tactics of the Communist Party in China. So they are, in effect, I believe, almost in control of people that are running our country.
Wood said the U.S. has been attacked twice by the CCP in 2020, first by intentionally letting the CCP virus spread throughout the world, and second by influencing the election. The director of national intelligence said at the beginning of December that China, Russia, and Iran interfered in the U.S. election. Attorney Sidney Powell also included affidavits in her lawsuits against election fraud that contain evidence of China's involvement. He said now is the time for Americans to unite, and he said that despite the obstructions and the courts dismissing many of the lawsuits, he doesn't believe people have given up hope.
I feel the movement. Some people say that people have given up hope. I don't believe that's the case. I feel the rising anger and the rising disgust of the American people. They are not going to allow this to happen to their country.
Wood said he thinks President Trump needs to seize the voting machines and mail-in ballots in the seven contested states for examination and appoint a special counsel to investigate. He said if this is done, he thinks people would rally behind him because the spirit of freedom is still strong in the American people, as it was in 1776.
That spirit in America still exists in 2020. The president needs to feel it. He needs to go out like he's done before and listen to the people. He'll feel their energy. He'll feel their passion. He'll feel their love for freedom. That's what's going to survive. That's never going to be taken away. So I believe that that message of we the people will get through to the people in Congress.
Wood said that he believes that God is ultimately in control of the fate of the country, but that people still need to act and stand up for the truth. Reporting by Grace Coulter, NTD News.
Now, Lynn Wood has said that he has a recording of Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Breyer, one of the leftists on the court, talking about how they can prevent Trump from being elected. He's also said that he has seen on the flight logs of the so-called Lolita Express or other planes, I guess, taking people to the Jeffrey Epstein pleasure island in the Caribbean, Roberts' name numerous times. I don't know where all this is coming, where this is going to go or how it'll play out, but it's very interesting to say the least. But finally, let's hear the last moments of that Epic Times documentary I played highlights from earlier. And you can hear what he is – I think he has some very interesting comments here, Joshua Phillip here. Play soundbite 5, please.
The mainstream media in this country now is operating very much like the media used to operate in the Soviet Union or operates in communist China.
China has plenty of motivation to oppose the re-election of Donald Trump. In Donald Trump, you have the first American president in 50 years to stand up and defend American interests, defend American alliances, and defend American friends from Chinese predations. In Donald Trump, the Chinese finally met a global leader who would deny their goal of global hegemony. Therefore, the Chinese Communist Party had a direct and very strong interest in making sure or doing whatever they could to ensure that Donald Trump would be defeated in this election.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Back in January 2017, only 19 minutes after Trump's inauguration, the Washington Post proclaimed, "The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun." Over the past 4 years, a hidden power has been plotting to implement schemes to oust Trump in a subversion attempt. Yet each time, these ended in failure. Now in 2020, we are witnessing the most serious, most widespread election fraud ever over the 244 years of American history.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
People here right now are worried about the integrity of the American system. They're worried right now over whether the Supreme Court will rule based on the Constitution and based on justice. They're worried that their concerns are not being heard by the people in charge of this country. We don't see any police, no riot police. People are peacefully calling for justice to be restored to this country.
The year 2020. 400 years ago, the Mayflower brought the first groups of Protestants to America. The year 2020, the 244th year since the symbolic birth of the United States through the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These truths have spread worldwide, inspiring patriots and becoming universal values. The year 2020, the 233rd year since the creation of the Constitution of the United States, establishing fundamental laws and guaranteeing basic rights of citizens, including the rights to life, liberty, and private property. Yet, if the 2020 presidential election was stolen by communist forces within and outside of America, then the separation of power among the three branches of government and a fair legal system would cease to exist. The freedom to elect would cease to exist. The freedom and equality of the American people would cease to exist. It would be an attempted coup to subvert the foundations upon which the United States of America was built. Communism would slam into the United States like a tsunami. America, the beacon of democracy, would be extinguished and the world would enter a dark age.
We are living now in a communist revolution, and 90% of Americans still don't understand this. So if this election fraud is allowed to stand, there will never be another free election in this country. Never. There will never be a chance to regain freedom.
They don't want to lose. They are 10 steps past us in every area, planning, strategizing, being purposeful, setting things up. In my heart, from studying Marxist and read all the main writings since Marx, I think they prefer if Trump is able to overturn this and they can do the revolution. They love destruction. They love, that's the ultimate thing, like Vladimir Lenin said, we will have world communism through world revolution.
In a socialist communist society, there is no rule of law. There's only the rule of the state. So in America, you're protected by law. You can criticize the American president. You can criticize your congressman. He can't touch you because you have the First Amendment right to speak your mind. You can protect your family with your firearms. You have all sorts of legal protections. Under socialism, the only authority is the state. And the only right or wrong is what the state wants. So if you're in any way opposed to the state, if you're in any way opposed to the state's plans or not cooperate with the state's plans, you're an enemy of the people and you have no legal protection whatsoever. They can jail you, they can persecute you, they can take your job away, they can stop your kids going to school, they can deny you health care, they can do anything they want to you. And Americans need to understand the goal of the socialists in this country is complete tyranny.
If we just stand by and watch, what's happening in Hong Kong will be tomorrow's America.
China's parliament approved a decision to impose national security legislation on Hong Kong in a landslide vote.
Taiwan and Hong Kong stand no chance against China without a strong, free U.S. And so we have to stand up for all of God's people of the world, not just the U.S.
Honesty should be the role. You know, the truth should be the role. That's the thing that's missing in this country right now is a passion for the truth.
Those people that are telling you right now that it is over are lying to you.
Every patriot should step forward. Let your voices be heard and be respected. During the American Revolution, the political philosopher and author Thomas Paine said, "These are the times that try men's souls. Today we are in such a time." In a lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton wrote, "Our country stands at an important crossroads. Either the Constitution matters and must be followed, even when some officials consider it inconvenient or out of date, or it is simply a piece of parchment on display at the National Archives. We ask the court to choose the former." On one hand, the American Constitution restricts presidential authority via Congress and the courts, but it also grants presidential prerogative powers. With these prerogatives, former American presidents took many key actions during some of the nation's most difficult times, and these actions are still remembered today. President Trump has the authority to exercise the powers granted by the Constitution. Decisive emergency actions are necessary to deter this extensive attack.
We will not be tyrannized, we will not be demeaned, and we will not be intimidated by bad, evil people. It will not happen.
Defending the Constitution, defending the foundation of democracy that defines America, is the duty of the American president, of every government official, and of every American citizen. No matter whether these destructive attacks are foreign or domestic, hear the voice of Americans who love freedom and equality as their cries for justice resound above us.
They underestimated the American people. They underestimated the people who love this country and believe in the Constitution.
We are at the most crucial juncture in the history of our country. Nothing's even been close.
The 2020 U.S. election is no longer a contest between two parties, nor a contest between Trump and Biden. It is a battle between traditional values and communism, a battle between good and evil. We are not bystanders. We all play a role.
We have 80 million strong people that say we want freedom. We want to keep America great. And it's a battle worth fighting. And it's given us all a very meaningful life of standing for the truth.
Americans need to understand this election will decide not just who's the president, it will decide the future of America and consequently the future of the world.
What every one of us can do is to first help the people around us understand the truth about the election fraud. Please share this documentary as widely as possible. By presenting the facts, we will break through censorship, and as Americans, we will not allow our country to be subverted by communist forces. Trump is not only confronting the CCP and fighting for the American people, he is fighting for all people who value freedom, truth, and tradition. We are not fighting for Trump. We are fighting for our future and the future of American freedom.
We have posted on our show page, that's bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, some links to internet sources for alternative news, information, and opinion about the election and current events. Take a look at them. The way I see it, this next week coming, will be crucial in the determination of the final outcome of the presidential election. While there's been much speculation about congressional representatives and senators challenging the current certification of the Electoral College votes, giving Biden the presidency, I believe it will fail since the Democrats still control the House of Representatives and there are way too many rhinos, that is, Republicans in name only, who are anti-Trump in the Senate. Unless enough state legislatures vote to decertify those Electoral College votes before they are finally certified by Congress on January 6th. In that case, the matter could wind up going to the House of Representatives to elect the president, and where each state delegation has one representative to vote, selected by their respective state legislatures. The president is asking everyone to contact their state legislators and congressional representative to demand a free and fair election. If all this fails, the only thing possible, as I understand it, would be for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and declare martial law, to possibly have military oversee new elections in the swing states. I understand this could be employed under a provision involving foreign interference in U.S. domestic affairs, but it's unknown if enough of the U.S. military will be willing to support such an action, though it's been argued that it would be entirely constitutional and within the president's lawful powers. We'll have to see where all this goes in the next 10 days or so. If you're a Trump supporter, pray for the president and for America, and do whatever you can to show your support. That's it for our show today. Look for us again 2 weeks from now in this same time slot. Thanks again to BBS Radio Network for hosting our show, and good night.